Happy December, everybody. I got great news. This week is Sober Podcast. Next week is Drunk Podcast. I'm excited about it, so I recorded a special message before episode 249 to get you pumped for 250. Enjoy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the We Don't Know Either podcast, episode number 249. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Joey.
Joey, hey.
Hi.
I feel like I know you.
Yeah, I've seen you somewhere.
Yeah, it's Take Your Boyfriend to Work Day. Joey's a freelance video editor, so luckily just had today off different hours, and we brought you on.
Yeah, works out that way.
Yeah,
Joey's also helped us out with a couple events and stuff like
that. That's true. So. He's basically an employee.
Yeah, pretty close.
So, Joey, what do you know about this podcast? What are you excited for?
I've heard this is a place to learn some sweet facts, so I'm pretty excited to pick up some knowledge.
Cool. Yeah. So, Michael, we've had this riff of, hey, have you listened? Or, you know, and I tell him, like, my facts and things.
Sure.
And he's like, do you know how many words you say? And he's like, I don't know if I could listen to more of you talk. And I was like, well, I guess that's fair.
I just think it's fair that, you know, I hear the other 90% of words you say during a day or text to me during a day or send an email or a GIF or every other form of communication. So I feel like I get this, like, this is like 20 minutes where I don't have to hear every word you say.
That's fair. I also will tell him my interesting facts. And then if he comes to a trivia night that I'm hosting, he'll forget the fact. I'm like, I just told you that. To which your response is.
And again, I have to follow up with, do you know how many words you say to me in a day? Because it's so many words. And I listen to all of them, but I cannot be expected to remember everyone.
I think that's all fair.
Yeah. No, that sounds about right.
But he says he's really excited for his fact. So we're going to hold off on your fact.
Oh, that builds some suspense.
Build it up. Because I know Michael and I are both kind of in this sports category world. Because I know that's both in your two wheelhouses. So my interesting fact, and there's data, so there's so many different ways that we could go with it. Some guy on the internet for the Amdahl Gallery, pardon me if I'm mispronouncing that wrong, but it's just basically a website where they compile data and do data. The guy made a lot of Excel sheets, so I'm pretty confident he knows what he's doing. So they took the average salary per minute, the average minutes of games played for the four major sports leagues, NFL, NBA, you know, NHL. What am I missing? MLB.
There you go.
Yeah. So which league has the highest average salary? Let's start there.
It's got to be the NFL, in my opinion.
Like, yeah, I'd say the NFL for sure, because players only play half the game.
Well,
I mean, if you split it between offense and defense, no one plays both ways. And all those other sports, you have to play both sides of the ball. So it's got to be NFL.
Wait, I'm sorry. I must have misread.
Okay, yeah. So let me rephrase the question so it's clearer. Because there's a bunch of different ways you can act. And you know me, like when there's data and things, I'm
very
involved and excited. So which league has the highest average salaried position? So they broke it down by position.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask which league has the highest average salary position on the list, and then which what position is it?
Okay. Well, in that case, if that's how it's broken down, I'm going NFL, and it's got to be quarterbacks.
Yeah, if it's broken down by minutes played or games played, it's not.
There's per minute is a separate category. This is just average salary.
Oh, average salary.
Average salary per season.
Oh, then it's definitely baseball. Baseball's got the biggest contracts,
so
for sure.
With pitchers, then, you'd think?
Pitchers or home run hitters, yeah. I mean, Giancarlo Stanton's contract is insane.
Right, but if it's based on position, I mean, those guys could play any of the three outfielders or in the AL, they're playing the DH.
So, to be clear, this is just average. They broke it down by average salary per position.
Okay.
But I want to know what league has the top paid position. And I'll tell you what, this league actually has all five, if you break it down by the average. Top five are all from this same league.
It's got to be baseball. Baseball contracts are the best. They've got the best players union. It's definitely baseball.
I think you're right, but I'm going to stick with the NFL.
Both of you guys are wrong.
What?
Is it hockey?
Both of you wrong. No.
It's basketball.
It is. It's the NBA.
How do the numbers work? Break it down for me.
So number one, small forward, an average of 22.7 something something digits per season. And then it's power forward, shooting guard, point guard, and then a center. And then the next position is from the MLB.
Pitcher.
Nope. The DH average more per season, then followed by the pitcher.
That makes sense. That's all veterans, so their minimum salary is going to be way higher.
Right.
And it's mostly home run hitters who get huge contracts, so that checks
out. And you're only talking about half the league,
thanks.
Too.
Right. He says that checks out. Yeah, yeah. And then the following position is first baseman, which you guys know of. And so what is the first position listed for the NFL? Because it's the next one on the list with an average salary per season of $7.45 million.
Oh, backup quarterbacks dragging the numbers down.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
It's still got to be quarterback, though.
See, now I'm second guessing myself now.
Defensive end is the other possibility, or outside linebacker. It's either guys that throw the ball or guys that sack the quarterback. Those are always the highest numbers.
What do you think, Michael?
See, Joey has this habit of making very, very good points that make me second guess myself.
What, he applies logic to things?
Yes, he applies logic to things. I tend to react from the gut usually.
It's all baseless accusations, though. That's just how exactly. I convince myself.
Right, but you say it with enough confidence that I believe you. So
you do. I don't know if we've ever actually played trivia together because I'm usually always hosting, but I feel like you're the guy on the team that you better be confident in what you're right because you're going to convince a lot of people. Is that true? Does that happen to you?
Let's just say I always hold the pen.
That's fair.
He has final cut is what happens there.
Okay, so what's your answer for position for top for the NFL on this list?
See, my gut was, as soon as you said backup quarterback was dragging it down, I was like, okay, that's fair. So my gut said wide receiver.
There's so many of them, though. That's the thing. Like, you've got so many wide receivers right. on the roster, and some of them, especially special teams players, might be listed as wide receivers on the roster, and they make nothing. I think it's still got to be quarterback.
Yeah.
Final answer, quarterback?
Yeah, quarterbacks.
It's incorrect. You were right.
It's
linebacker, defensive end. They're listed as like the same thing, and that average salary is 7.45. After that, it's right field. Down the list a little bit further, the next NFL is quarterback with an average salary of
$5 million.
$5.5 million. Yeah, you're pretty close, Michael. Very good. And then down the list, and then the first NHL position is center. Listed. So then it's center, defense, goalie, and then they broke up left and right wings down the line. But pretty cool. I thought that was super interesting. Any guesses, and this is kind of obvious, as to which position has the highest per minute average salary?
Per minute played?
Per
minute of game?
Well, they broke it down for MLB for baseball. They said it's about 18 minutes. It was based on a Wall Street Journal study. So they were applying that logic to MLB. So I'm assuming that they did that for the rest of them. It didn't really quite say, but it said average player salary per minute for each position group by league. That's their exact wording.
Okay.
So I don't know. It's per played by average. I don't know.
In that case, it's got to be, I think it's at the NFL again, because I think I had a fact a while back that was like, I think the average NFL game only has 13 minutes or something like that of
actual
play
action,
time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and on top of that, like we said earlier, they'd split between two teams. Offensive
right.
players don't play defense. But without seeing the spreadsheet, it's so hard to visualize.
Yeah,
it's got to be NFL, though.
So NFL is, average per minute. And it's the linebacker, defensive end,
right.
At which they average $7,760 per minute. And their average salary per game, $465,000.
It's wild.
Per game. And then, it goes on NBA, NFL, the QB jumps up a little bit in that list. But it's really cool. Lots of data. Of course, we'll include it in the link dump. Thought it was very cool. And then bonus fact, guys.
Here we go.
The average NFL player makes $115,000 per game, followed by the NBA at 78, the NHL at 39,000, and the MLB at 27,000 per game.
Because they play so many more games.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. And they break it down by per minute, all those good things. So anyway, sports, they make a lot of money. But, if I have a kid, I'd want him to play baseball because it's guaranteed. You know what I'm saying?
Guaranteed
get
contracts.
Get that guaranteed money.
That
then
NFL.
Again, I'd have to sit and watch a lot of baseball. So, the struggle.
Yeah, the other issue is NFL careers are only like, I think the average NFL career is still like 3 years right
three
now.
3 or 4 years.
So your earning window is very small.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So
not,
Michael,
not everybody can be Tom Brady.
So, Michael, you
yes.
have a fact.
I do have a fact. It is related somewhat to sports.
Oh, okay.
But more on the sports broadcasting side.
Okay. Something that both Joey and I have worked in. And
perfect.
Currently still work in.
Wonderful.
So hopefully we get this right.
So,
no pressure.
You're 0-1 so far in your lifetime podcast.
No pressure. No pressure at all. Thanks.
So back in 2005, ESPN gained the rights to Monday Night Football.
Yes.
And at the time, Al Michaels was still doing the broadcasting work for ABC and ESPN. but he ended up getting traded to NBC to do their Sunday night games after John Madden left. Here's my question. What did ABC trade to get Al Michaels?
Oh, that's a cool idea.
They had to trade something.
Is it? Can I ask follow up questions?
Yeah, absolutely. If you need a question to narrow it down, let me know. But
is it a person or an animate object? Or?
It was okay. Here, I'll narrow it down a little bit. It was rights to an animated cartoon. So I need to know which cartoon was traded for Al Michaels. It's actually a great story. Then I'll get into it when you guys guess.
So it's NBC's.
Yes, NBC traded. NBC had the rights to this cartoon.
Oh.
So, and ABC, and they wanted Al Michaels to come over for Sunday Night Football. Al Michaels wanted to leave. John Madden had already left ABC.
Got it. Okay, I understand now. When I think of primetime cartoons, I'm thinking of Family Guy and I'm thinking of The Simpsons. Simpsons okay. first, obviously.
Sure.
And those are both Fox, right?
Right. Those are both Fox.
Both Fox, so.
I'm guessing historical. I'm going to say it's the rights to the Peanuts stuff. Is it like the Snoopy?
Like the Charles Schulz stuff?
Yeah, Charles
Schulz. Is that on TV? Nah.
Well, all the holiday specials. You always have the Great Pumpkin and it's like Charlie Brown Christmas and all that kind of stuff. That's my guess.
That's a really good guess. Okay. That's not it.
That's clearly not it.
I'm sorry. I should have warned you that historically speaking, when we have hosts and or guests, you know, the idea is to make me look smarter because I always guess really foolishly and you're not doing that. So, and I obviously don't tell the host that because they all come in and have these amazing guesses
right,
that
exactly.
are way smarter than me in every way.
I'll give you one more hint.
Okay.
The piece that you need to remember
mm-hmm.
is who is the parent company for ABC?
Disney. Oh, okay. So who did they trade? Ooh, Disney. Huh. There's so many different cartoons, and I can't picture Disney giving up anything.
Right.
You know?
This is where the story gets really interesting. So you guys give up. I can just give it to you because I'm not sure you're going
to get
it.
My guess was going to be Scooby-Doo, which isn't Disney.
No, who owns Hanna-Barbera, I think.
Oh, Hanna-Barbera, yeah, that makes sense. That makes total sense.
I may be wrong on that, actually.
Where it originated, but I don't know if they still have him. They might have sold that character a long time ago. It's hard to say.
Warner Brothers? No, that doesn't sound right.
Anyway,
I don't know.
We're blindly guessing. I give up. The white flag is waving.
It is. It was a cartoon called Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. Now, hear me out. Because if you guys were going to say Mickey Mouse, I was basically going to give it to you. It was a precursor to Steamboat Willie and then later Mickey Mouse. Yep. What happened was...
I wish you could see my face of how angry I am. This is a gotcha question.
This is not a gotcha question. I asked for a specific...
Here, give me the specific cartoon that no one's ever heard
of. Okay, I should have... Maybe...
I've heard of that.
You've heard of that? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
It's a little obscure, I will admit.
I mean, Full disclosure, my dad works at Disney World. He is a retired man, and that's how he fills his time.
Right, and this is where I originally picked this up.
I'm a little bit further invested in Disney history than maybe everyone else.
I know, your dad's living the dream.
Okay, I'll tell you what. For the listeners, for the sake of the podcast, we will ask which broadcaster was traded as opposed to which cartoon.
Fair.
So those of you listening, the answer is going to be Al Michaels to the question that we'll ask.
Okay, now, but I want to hear about the story.
Yes, so... Like I said, ABC was looking to get the rights. Disney, the parent company, really wanted the rights to Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. What happened was when Walt Disney was first starting his career, he worked as an animator for Universal.
Mm.
And that's when he created Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. They had sent, up until 2005, had hung on to the rights of this character. Walt Disney's obviously long gone. Bob Iger, the Disney CEO at the time... When he heard about this negotiation, is like, we might have to lose Al Michaels. He's like, see if you can get Oswald. It was super important to him. It was one of the things he was standing on. He's like, I'm going to get this cartoon for Disney.
That's really cool.
I thought it's a great story. ESPN did a great markup on it, so that will obviously be in the link dump as well.
I'll have to click the link up. I'm very interested in that. That's awesome.
I think that I went backwards in my brain.
How do you mean?
Because Disney got that, right?
Yeah, no.
And
so,
NBC got Al Michaels.
Right.
And
who
Disney
still
got...
does
okay.
Sunday Night Football.
In my head, I was thinking what Disney was going to give up for NBC. Should have known in my brain that I just got it flip-flopped, which was very silly of me.
Right. No, Disney was the one giving up Al Michaels.
Yeah. No, that all makes sense.
So, but it's just when I first came across it, it was something I remembered from back in the day. Again, I actually worked at Disneyland and back in California for a little while as well. So this is one of the stories that got bounced around a little bit.
That's really cool. And way better of an investment because, you know, Al Michaels is a human and, you know, a cartoon is not. Well, so you can do a lot more with the rights to a cartoon than a human.
I think it was more of kind of trying to preserve that Disney legacy.
That's what I mean. It's like, they got a way, you know, yeah. if I'm doing a trade grade here, they did well.
A lot of Al Michaels hate here. You're going to.
No, I mean, he just
rile up his fan base. Watch out.
There's a lot of things with him, but a lot of good thing, bad thing. You know, it's one of those people. You know. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. Joseph.
Yep.
Yes.
It is your turn for a fact. You saw how it went down. This is your moment. I believe in you. What you got?
It's got a little bit of everything. We've got some botany. We've got some patent law.
Oh.
It's got it all.
It's got it all.
It's
okay.
Got it all. Now that I've built it up, my question. I get to form it into a question. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. If somebody would listen to this podcast, they would know that.
That is the first time for everything. I'll probably listen to this one.
You send it to your mom. Hi, this is my check.
Yeah. So yeah. So who had the first U.S. patent on a tree?
Who had the first U.S. patent on a tree?
On a tree.
Mm-hmm. On a tree. Okay.
I have a gut answer with no follow-up and no reason to have it.
I want to hear that before I give you any more details or clues.
Benjamin Franklin.
That's always a good guess when it comes to patent law. No, not okay. The first patent on a tree.
That's a great, great guess. There are trees in Philadelphia as well. I can vouch.
I have been told.
I'll give you a clue in the form of a bonus fact.
Oh.
So.
All right.
Okay, Joey came to play.
So, Lindsay.
Oh, that's me.
That's you. You ate something that is directly related to this tree yesterday.
I ate something that was directly related to this tree yesterday. Uh-oh.
I don't know guacamole came from. Wait, hang on. I might be onto something.
He's like nodding his head. And I was going through my head, what did I eat yesterday?
Guacamole is always a safe answer.
Yeah, that's true.
Follow up on that instinct. Keep going.
I was
follow
like Ligonberry. We had like some Ligonberry.
Follow that through to its logical endpoint.
So it's an avocado tree.
It's an avocado tree. The Haas avocado tree.
Oh.
Okay.
The Haas avocado tree was patented in 1935. It was bought by, let me get his first name here.
Wait, you can patent a tree?
This specific tree, yeah, this specific tree was so valuable it got a U.S. patent because what was its first name? I can't find it. This guy in 1926 bought seeds. Rudolf Haas in 1926 bought seeds and planted this tree, and it bore huge fruit that was different from the predominant avocado on the market. And he just absolutely took over, and he created a bunch of saplings. And in fact, to this day, every Haas avocado is traceable to this one seedling that he bought that he planted in 1926 and patented in 1935.
Wait, I'm still confused as to how you patent a seed. Like, he doesn't seem like he did any genetic something to it.
I think that's how you create a patent. I'm assuming this is some crossbreeding thing, and it ended up making avocados.
I'm going to be full disclosure here. The only real knowledge I have of biological patents was because I read a Michael Crichton book a few years ago.
Okay.
So I really, and they're talking about patenting genes. So
right.
Like if your body produced X kind of enzyme because of your genome, then, you know, pharmaceutical companies, I don't know, it was a whole big thing. Very right. Great. Read well, I mean, Michael Crichton. It was excellent. But I don't understand how you can do that with a living organism.
Well, what's different? Well, I mean, it was unique. It was like the last three seeds or something like that. And what was unique about it is that Haas plants produce yields year-round. And they're bigger, and the fruit is physically bigger, and they have a longer shelf life and a richer flavor owing to a higher oil content.
Oh.
But yeah, so he was the first one. And all Haas avocados come back to this one tree. But actually, this tree, another follow-up bonus fact.
Oh, yeah. That's what I do say that a lot.
Yeah. This tree actually finally died on September 11th, 2002. And it was like 76 years old. And they had to develop around it. Like, the whole neighborhood was developed around it. It was finally cut down when it died of root rot. And now the family sells like wooden artifacts made from the tree. Because get every last drop, right?
Right.
Yeah. R.I.P. R.I.P. avocado tree. So was it the process of the planting or was the actual tree?
It's got to be the seed, I would think.
I mean,
I just have so many questions.
We will post the link in the link tab. Yeah. You can do research at your leisure. All I know is the man had a patent on a tree and you ate it yesterday.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, that's true. I do always feel like a baller when they're like, do you want that extra guacamole? And I was like, yeah, load me up.
I know guacamole's extra. Bring it on.
Yeah, no, I just like, here, just shut up and take my money. But cool. And it's also hilarious that you got to what I ate yesterday before I did.
Like I said, guacamole, always a safe guess.
That's very true.
I was attempting to make a joke. Turns out, hit a spot. What am I going to do?
Nail on the head.
Yeah, well done. That is very interesting, and I'm impressed. I will say that I came in with very low expectations, and I'll stand by that. But you exceeded them, so well done.
Hey, he was throwing out terminology. Is it like, yeah, he listens. He's throwing out bonus facts.
He's making a face like, absolutely not. Okay, so Michael, did you have a bonus fact, or do you want me to go into my bonus?
I do have just kind of a follow-up. This was a funny thing that I ended up reading on Mental Floss.
Oh, cool. Love them.
Chuck Jones, who created the Roadrunner cartoons.
Yes, heard of it.
He had a set of rules when he would write Roadrunners.
Oh, okay.
So I guess we'll start with the question part of it. How many rules were there if you're writing a Roadrunner cartoon?
6.
10.
Very close. There were 9. There were 9 total rules.
Okay. Price is right, I win.
Dang it.
Rule number 1, the Roadrunner cannot harm the coyote except by going beep beep.
Okay.
So psychological torture only.
Yeah, psychological torture.
Yeah, Roadrunner was kind of mean, I feel like, from what I remember from those cartoons. It's been a while since I've watched them, but Roadrunner was kind of mean.
That seems like a perspective thing.
It's a touch perspective. I see where you're coming from, but you start reading the rules and you realize it's really the coyote. Let's see.
Is the coyote the bad guy?
Yeah.
No, I know that. I'm just kidding.
No.
Why did he hate the Roadrunner so much? What's the backstory?
He wanted to eat the Roadrunner.
He was hungry.
Oh. Okay, that makes a lot more sense now. I get that.
So, for example,
why would you pick a slower food, though? Really? And also, if he was using a lot of those explosives, that's not good for eating. It's just going to splatter those parts everywhere, and you're not going to be able to cook up a filet.
Well, you can't have
a chicken wing.
That leads into rule number 3. The coyote could stop at any time if he were not a fanatic. And then the quote they use for a fanatic is George Santayana, a fanatic is one who redoubles his effort when he has forgotten his aim. Mm. So why would he blow up the Roadrunner? He has forgotten why he's chasing the Roadrunner, but he's redoubling his efforts.
Oh, it's a right. Captain Ahab situation for
exactly.
sure at this point. It's more about the principle of the thing.
Yeah. Rule number 2, no outside force can harm the coyote, only his ineptitude or the failure of Acme products.
Yeah, I would love to read some Amazon reviews of Acme.
I would love to go looking for that. Whenever possible, this is rule number 8, whenever possible, make gravity the coyote's greatest enemy.
That's fair. Now that you're saying all these things, I'm having vivid flashbacks,
absolutely,
specific
right?
moments in the cartoons.
Rule number 9, this is probably my favorite of the rules. The coyote is always more humiliated than harmed by his failures.
Oh, okay.
So, like, no permanent damage, but he's always just, like, embarrassed.
Yeah. He's probably hangry.
Right, exactly.
He forgot why he was, what he was trying to do. He was just like.
And this is one, I'd have to go back and watch some of the old cartoons. This is one I just may have completely missed. Rule number 5. The Roadrunner must stay on the road. Otherwise, logically, he would not be called a Roadrunner.
Oh, that's one of those you want to fact check. So
right,
bad.
Absolutely.
Internet, your time is
yes.
now.
Those of you listeners, check this. If you can find the Roadrunner off the road, please tweet us at District Trivia.
Of course, then he just becomes an off-road runner. Ba-dum-tsh.
Welcome to the party, Joey. Usually terrible puns are my thing. You're stepping on my territory a little bit.
That being said, I do think off-road runner should be the secret phrase.
Yeah, I was going to go meet, meet. But yeah, you can have the secret phrase. You can make funny puns that I, out of spite, did not laugh at, even though I really, really wanted to.
I'm also doing a victory dance for those at home.
Yeah, he's doing
not paying attention.
He's doing a little victory dance.
More of a shimmy, but still.
It's not great. But anyway, I'm just being mean because I'm just really just so angry, you know.
You could kind of see it in her face. She's like, you beat me to that one.
Yeah, well, I do want to go back now and make sure he stays on that road.
Right, yeah.
Also, there's not a lot of other traffic. You know, they're in like the desert.
Right.
But you don't really see other things happen.
That's
like,
actually
I want to see
one
a witness.
That's actually one of the rules as well. Rule number 6, all action must be confined to the natural environment of the two characters, the Southwest American desert.
Okay, that makes sense. But you think that there'd be other... other little creatures about.
Well, if there were other things to eat, he wouldn't be chasing the Roadrunner, so...
Yeah, but maybe there's like a lizard chilling on a rock and sees all this madness happening. Mm. I don't know.
That would be a great follow-up cartoon, like, for our age, just the third-party perspective of just, like, the desert tortoise just watching all this happen going, yeah, okay.
Yeah, but, you know, two types of evil. Those that, you know, commit evil things and then see evil happening and do nothing about it. I feel like if you see this murderous coyote, you know, you got to do something, right?
No, law of the jungle. You're allowed to eat to survive.
You're allowed to eat to survive, but, you know, blowing him up. Also, where is he getting those shipments from? I have so many questions.
Acme Corporation.
I know, but how does he have a mailing address? Has he got a P.O. box and a cactus? I don't. There's so many things. But I want to think about them. And for now, we're going to sign off. This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Michael.
I'm Joey.
We don't know either.
Bye.